Peter Bolsch joins us now. Peter is Vice Chairman of the Victorian Motorcycle Council. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Tony.
Now, let's talk about these monkey bikes. We need to get some sort of a definitive ruling as to just where they sit in terms of the legal aspect. They're a small bike, a small trail bike, I guess you'd call it.
Yes, vaguely correct, Tony.
Well,
most of them are cheap imports and are bought through non-conventional motorcycle channels, so they're not bought through licensed motorcycle dealers. A lot of them can be bought on the internet and brought in parts, and you assemble them yourself. So there's no quality control, no compliance with Australian design rules, no mandatory standards, and often ridden by unlicensed riders.
So if I was wanting to buy one of these monkey bikes, I just jump on the internet, and I don't know whether it's eBay or Gumtree or whatever, how much would I be paying for one of these monkey bikes?
At the lower end, the cheap end, $200-$400 will buy you a monkey bike, Tony.
I mean, there's one report in the Herald Sun this morning saying second-hand bikes are being sold for as little as $100.
Not surprised.
Yeah. So how fast can they go? Like, what sort of speed can they get up to?
The gearing can be altered on them. They're not all that highly powered, but depending on how they're geared, they can be quite quick. But speed is relevant to the situation you're in. And in confined spaces, relatively low speeds can be potentially dangerous.
Well, as we know, they're very dangerous, these bikes. Do we know how many there are in the community? I mean, are these being confiscated, to your knowledge, on a regular basis?
I don't think there is a uniform approach to monkey bikes across the state or across municipalities or across even the authorities in respect of whether it's councils or whether it's police or whether it's rangers or whoever. There's no way of accurately ascertaining how many are in the community because they're not imported through regular channels like a regular motorbike is. So there's no importation figures, and there's no control over them. There's no minimum standard. They're not a legitimate or legal, and most of them would be unregisterable anyway because they wouldn't comply with Australian design standards.
Would you like to see police have the powers that once they do confiscate these monkey bikes, that they just crush them?
Look, I don't know whether the solution is quite that simple, Tony. Although I can understand the sentiment behind your question, but I think the whole issue of monkey bikes needs to be looked at a little bit holistically. Firstly, I don't think illegal or non-compliant bikes should be available in the marketplace. Secondly, I think they should be sold through legitimate motorcycle dealers where there's consumer protection. And the bikes need to be subject to mandatory laws to protect the consumers and to protect the public. And we need to have places for kids to ride these things legally and safely. In our society today, backyards have gotten smaller, and kids are forced out on the street or to public parks, and there's no legitimate channel for them to be controlled. Police are powerless, as we heard your previous caller say, because there's no specific path that the police can take. They can't chase them because pursuits are now out of the question. There are complaints from residents over noise, one of the interesting aspects of that is that the new generation of these monkey bikes are actually electric, and they will be silent. Now, that might solve the noise problem, but it means you won't be able to hear them coming, so that the public are even in more danger because they can't get out of their way.
I mean, so, you make a very good case for crushing them.
Your words, Tony. But I think you can appreciate that the issue needs to be addressed across the board. You can't just say, OK, we'll confiscate them, because it doesn't stop them coming in.
Yeah.
It needs a holistic approach to it. And the councils, police, importers, distributors, regulators all need to get together and address the problem cohesively.
All right. Well, thanks for your time this morning. It's given us a far greater insight into these machines, and frightening to think that you say some are electric, so therefore they're silent. And I guess from an adolescent point of view, that makes them even more economical because they're not having to buy petrol to put into these things. They just charge them.
That's true. That's true. The other added problem, Tony, is, as we've seen perhaps recently with some of the CCTV footage, is these things are being ridden by unlicensed youths without protection. I mean, if I want to ride my motorbike on the road, I've got to wear a helmet, and, you know, safety gear, gloves, jacket, boots, the like. These people are putting not only other people's lives in danger, but their own lives in danger, but not even wearing fundamental safety gear that goes with riding a motorbike.
Well, unfortunately, in this case, they've ended one life and they've wrecked their own. So it's a sad state of affairs all around. Peter, not the sort of topic we would have liked to have spoken to you about, but, you know, it's something that we're going to be hearing a lot more about because it needs to be addressed, and hopefully the authorities will be doing just that. So thanks for your time.
Thank you, Tony. And yes, it is a very sad day.
It is indeed. Peter Bolsch joining us there. Peter's the Vice Chairman of the Victorian Motorcycle Council.